Tonight, we have Brother Tim Tidwell from the Branson Church of Christ in Branson, Missouri, where he's been serving for over 10 years as both an evangelist and an elder. His topic on this evening is identifying sinners. Luke chapter 15. Brother Kidwell, will you share with us from the Bible how we can identify sinners? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Stroud. It is indeed my pleasure and my honor to be able to speak this evening on this fine program. I appreciate the good work that's being done and preaching the gospel on a weekly basis in this type of technique that you've used here. This is very unique, and I appreciate you. If you have your Bible, I trust you do. It's been announced that we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 15, and we will be looking at it in its entirety. So I will have to be moving along rather quickly because of the time restraints in which we try to maintain. And so if you have your Bible, make sure you're at Luke chapter 15. When you hear the word sinner, what comes to your mind? Well, someone were to say, well, that man down there, that lives down there, he's just an old sinner. You'd probably think, well, you know, he's talking about some sort of reprobate that just lives in rebellion to God, and he doesn't try to be a nice person. He's just an old sinner. Well, Jesus was accused of associating with sinners, and so he taught a lesson about sinners. If you are there, Luke 15, we'll begin reading at verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them. Now let's pause here just a moment. Everything from verse 4 through the end of this chapter in verse 32 has to do with this reason. They're saying he eats with sinners. Jesus, knowing their heart about what they're thinking about him because of that, so he spoke this parable to them saying. Now we're going to be looking at three parables that he spoke with four applications, but let's begin here with the first one. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So what has happened? Jesus knows their heart. He eats with sinners. And so he's going to teach them a lesson. Let me tell you a story about a man, a shepherd, that had 100 sheep. One of them wandered off. Now, why in the world would this sheep wander off? Did the sheep just wake up one morning and say, "You know what? I don't like my shepherd. I don't like these other sheep. I don't like the way they smell. I'm going to run away." No, that's not what sheep would do. Sheep are community animals. They like to be around other sheep. In this part of the country, the sheep loves his shepherd. The sheep follows his shepherd. But he somehow got separated. How did that happen? Well, he was taking care of sheep business. He's just walking around eating some grass. "Well, there's some grass over there. I believe I'll go over there and eat that." And then he's down the hill and in the valley and up the other side of the hill and over the top. And he's just doing what sheep do, eating grass, not paying attention to anything. And then suddenly he looks up and he says, "Where'd everybody go? How did he get lost?" He was just taking care of sheep business. Well, the Lord was trying to show that the example of a sinner. So let's make the application. Brethren, sometimes they get separated from their shepherd. They get separated from their flock. And is it because they wake up one day and they say, "You know what? I'm not going to pray. Starting today, I'm going to quit praying. Start today, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit attending church services. Start today, I'm just not going to do what God would have me to do. No, that's not generally how it happens. What happens is brethren will get distracted by things that are in and of themselves are not wrong. They're just taking care of people business. It's like Martha in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus is visiting there at the home of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Martha's busy trying to prepare a meal, and Mary's sitting at his feet, and Martha's upset because Mary's not helping. And so finally she gets so disgusted, she says to the Lord, Lord, would you not tell Mary to help? And Jesus looks at Martha in verse 41 and says, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled over many things, but one thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part. Martha was distracted by things that in and of themselves were not wrong, but they were not as important as the spiritual. Sometimes that happens where brethren are concerned. Their job might be a distraction. Community efforts might be a distraction. School activities for children might be a distraction. Things that in and of themselves are not wrong, but they take the place of what's most important, the spiritual things. Why did that sheep get home? Well, you remember what I read? That shepherd made sure that he had all the other sheep put away nice and safe in the pen, and then he went looking, and then when he saw that sheep, he took his staff, and he began to beat on it and say, you bad sheep, you get on home, you stinking varmint, I'm so tired of coming out here looking for you. You remember me reading that? No, I don't remember that part either. That's not what happened. He saw that sheep, and obviously that sheep was not afraid of a shepherd, because the shepherd walked right up to it, picked it up, put it on his shoulders right up next to his face. I don't know about you, but I've been around sheep. Sheep stink. And here the shepherd picks that sheep up and puts it right up next to his face. Now, why'd he do that? Because he wanted to make sure that that sheep made its way back home. Made sure that it was going to be safe all the way home. Well, then what's the application? Well, sometimes brethren, they just need some help getting home. James chapter 5, 19 and 20. James wrote, brethren, if anyone among you wanders, notice that term, wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, what is it that we're supposed to do? If we turn them back. Now, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul said, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. Ye who are spiritual. So who's the one that's supposed to go looking for that sheep that's lost? Well, you might say, well, that sounds like a job for elders or preachers or, you know, somebody that's a little spiritual leader in the church. Well, certainly they would be involved in something like that. But Paul said, ye who are spiritual, is there going to be anybody in heaven who's not spiritual? Certainly not. So this responsibility to help restore the one that's been overtaken in trespass applies to the whole church family. And so what do? We go looking for that brother or sister that's wandered away. And when we go to the door and we knock on it, you know, I've done this more on one occasion where as an elder and a preacher, I have to go visit, need to go visit somebody that's wandered away. And you know what has happened in the past? There have been times when I got distracted with other business. Well, I knew that brother hadn't been here, and I probably should check on him. But then something else would come along I'd get busy with, and I would neglect checking on that brother. And before long, it's not 1 week, but it's 2 weeks. Then it's not 2 weeks, but it's 3 weeks. And then on and on, and then finally I'm embarrassed by how much time has gone by, and I haven't gone to try to find out what's going on with this brother or sister. So the first thing I've had to do is when they open the door, and I can tell that they're not really happy to see me because they realize, oh, yeah, the preacher's here. And first thing I've had to do is say, I need to ask you to forgive me. And you can see it in their face. Well, what? I need to forgive you of what? I said, well, I've known for quite a while now that you were struggling with something, and I've neglected to come to see you, and that was wrong. I am sorry. Will you please forgive me? And I've never had a brother or sister when I've had to do this to say, no, I'm not going to forgive you. So I said, well, sure, I'll forgive you, Brother Kittle. I said, well, then let's pray together. And then we pray about it, and then when we finish, I look at him and I say, now can I please talk to you about your soul? I'm concerned about you. I want to go to heaven, and I want you to go to heaven. I want you to go with me. And that goes right back to what Paul said in Galatians 6, verse 1, where I didn't finish. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. If we're not careful, we might get to somebody's house and say, well, the Bible says, and you're wrong, and if you don't repent, you're not going to go to heaven. And everything that we're saying is right. It's just that we just told them they're just a bad Christian, and instead of using God's word and the spirit of gentleness, not saying we shouldn't say what needs to be said, but the approach, the spirit of gentleness, helps bring that brother or sister back home. Well, Jesus, there was one story that he told there, but moving right along, we have another parable, starting with verse 8. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, why is Jesus telling this story? Remember, those scribes and Pharisees says, he eats with sinners. So Jesus spoke this parable to them. He started talking to them about a woman had 10 pieces of money, 10 coins, and she lost one of them. Now, in all likelihood, this money that's being talked about here in that day and time in that culture, young maidens would have a dowry, coins. And many times it was even made into a headpiece in which the coins would hang on a chain around their head. And this woman, her dowry, 10 coins, she's lost 10% of it. She's lost one of her coins. That's important to her. It's so important that she's going to light a lamp, and she's going to sweep her house, and she's going to just keep looking until she finds that which was lost. Now, what's the application? Well, let's think about this. Let's suppose I have a coin in my hand, an American coin, a quarter. It's supposed to be worth 25 cents. Well, if I am counting my change and I'm putting it all back in my pocket, and that quarter doesn't make it into my pocket, but it actually falls to the ground and rolls over underneath the drawer or the dresser in my bedroom, is that quarter, what's it worth? You say, well, it's still worth 25 cents. Well, it has value. That's true. But it's valueless to me because it's not in my hands. That coin that woman lost did not know it was lost, but she knew it was lost. That coin had value, but it was valueless to her. So what's the application? There are people in this world that are good people, that are moral people. These people, in their own mind, they have no idea that they're not right with God. But the point is, while their soul has value, they are valueless to God while they're outside of his hands. They're not in the hands of the Creator. And so that's why this woman, the coin didn't know it was lost, so she had to do the work. She had to do the sweeping. She had to do the looking. And that's what we've got to do. We've got friends. We've got neighbors. We've got family who are lost, and they don't even know they're lost. And we've got to take the gospel broom, and we've got to light the light use the gospel light, and we've got to do some searching. We are told in the Great Commission that we, the ones that have obeyed the gospel, should go to the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he who does not believe shall be condemned. That is a charge for us to be searching for the lost who don't even know they're lost. But then there's another parable that the Lord tells. It's a parable about the man who had two lost sons. Now, most of the time we concentrate on just the younger son, but that's not the whole story. So let's read it together. Verse 11. Then Jesus said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf. Have it killed, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now let's pause here a moment. Remember, the scribes and Pharisees said, he eats with sinners. And so Jesus tells this parable, tells this story. Why? To talk about, well, who's the sinner? And we started out, we had a sinner that was someone who was lost, got distracted, wandered away, didn't want to be lost. They just needed some help to come back. Then there's the money who does not know it's lost, the person that know they're lost. They just need somebody to take the gospel to them and help them understand what they need to do. And then you got someone that lives in this situation. The application is this person, God, the father represents God. This person lives in God's house. And he chooses, he would like to have his inheritance. Now, let's not be too hard on him. Some would say, well, his father's not dead. Why is he asking for his inheritance? That's not right. Well, in that particular culture, it wasn't unusual for someone to receive their inheritance or a portion of it before their father, whoever was going to leave the inheritance to them, before they passed away. But it's not the fact that he got it early. It's what he did with it. We read that he went and he wasted this. He took what his father had blessed him with and he used it to live in a sinful manner. He had lots of friends while he had money, but then a famine came and he ran out of money and he ran out of friends. And suddenly he is so hungry that he's trying to get a job. He can't even get a job. And it says that he basically, the Bible says that he joined himself. This means he forced himself on this man, said, you got to give me a job. You got to let me do something. I'm so hungry. And so this man looks at him, probably in all likelihood, because of the fact that he's raising pigs. This is, since he's in the far country, is a Gentile. And this Gentile has pigs, and he's going to make this Jewish boy eat his unclean pigs. Now, let's think about this a moment. Does the father know where the son is? Of course he does. Well, how do we know that? Well, we'll know that for sure here when we pick up where we left off and read about the older brother who gets angry and says, your son wasted his money on righteous living. He was been living with a harlot. So the family knows where he is. It's not, it does, when it says he's in the far country, that's not necessarily talking about literal distance. But anytime we are not right with God, we are in the far country. We can be in the same room but be in a far country from those that are living right with God. He had to come to himself. The father didn't go looking for him. You say, well, that seems strange. The shepherd went looking for a sheep. The woman went looking for a coin. But the father doesn't go looking for a son. Well, this son, he ran away. He didn't get distracted. He ran away. The coin, it doesn't know it's lost. It needs help. It's glad to be found. But then again, the son, he chose to live in rebellion. Now, what happens if a teenage boy, he runs off from home, he doesn't want to live there, and his parents go and get him and drag him home against his will? What's he going to do? Well, he's going to run away again the first chance he gets. You know, he's got to want to be home, to stay home. Well, this boy, he looks at that pig's food. He's so hungry, he's thinking, I wonder what that tastes like. Now, I've never been that hungry. I don't know about you, but he is so hungry, he's ready to taste what the pigs are eating. And it says, and he came to himself. I need to go home. I need to tell my father that I've sinned. And that just made me like one of your servants. Well, he starts home, and the Bible tells us that the father is looking for him. He's still a far ways off. The father sees him. And this is the only place in the Bible where God is described as running. And he's running to meet this son that has been living in rebellion that wants to come home. And then he says, it's time to have a party. Well, let's continue with the last few minutes that we have here. Begin with verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father's killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatty calf for him. And he said to him, son, you're always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. Now, why is the Lord telling the story about this younger son and then the older son? Because he eats with sinners. You see, these scribes and Pharisees, they're self-righteous, and they look down their nose and at everybody else, and they're better than everybody else. It's like this older son, he's never left the house. He's always worked hard. He's not living in rebellion to the Father's commandments. That's like somebody that they're always at church building. They're always involved in church activities. They're at the worship service. They're not living in rebellion to the Lord. And yet, Jesus says, you can be lost. He's telling these scribes and Pharisees, oh, you think because of the fact that you aren't living like they are, that automatically makes you right? Well, where's your heart? You see, they didn't care anything about these people that Jesus was eating with. This older brother, he didn't care anything about this younger brother. All he cared about was, look at me, what have I done? Notice me. He never left the house, but he's still lost. And somebody might say, well, that's terrible. We'd never have an attitude like that. Well, let me ask just a minute. Is it possible? Is it possible that we sing, oh, how I love Jesus, and then as soon as we have a prayer, and it's time to dismiss. We look out the corner right and make sure we don't go out into the aisle at the same place as brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, because right now we're just not getting along. But, oh, how I love Jesus. No, if we don't love a brother, then we don't love Jesus. 1 John 4, verse 21, he who loves God must love his brother. John 13:35, by this everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In this chapter, three parables, four applications. People who are lost, who are in the Lord's flock, but they wandered away, got distracted. They need to come home. Maybe we're talking to you tonight. Maybe there's someone who has wandered away. The Lord wants you to come home. Maybe you, by listening to this broadcast, you have been given the information that will help you to come home, or the person that invited you to listen to this broadcast, they're trying to help you to come home. Or it could be that someone asked you to listen to this broadcast and nobody's ever even talked to you about the fact that you're lost. Or do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son? Are you ready to repent of your sin and confess the name of Jesus and be baptized for the remission of your sin so that you can be saved? We're using that gospel broom. We're lighting up your path so that you'll know what you need to do. But you didn't know you were lost. Or it could be that you're a prodigal, that you've been living in sin, and you've come to yourself. Then we want you to come home too. But brethren, if our heart's not right, it doesn't matter where we're in the church building or how much good works we're doing for the Lord. If our heart's not right concerning one another, like those scribes and Pharisees, then we're just as lost. I hope this time tonight has given you something to think about. If you're not right with the Lord, we pray that you will be right, become right. Those that have wandered away, those that didn't know that they were lost, but now we would love to answer your questions. As Brother Stroud has said, just ask the questions. We'd be glad to open up the Bible and to answer them with a Bible question. Thank you, and God bless.